If you are sitting at home next to your radio, you're hearing the music faster than you are if you're in the hall.
Listening for the secret. Searching for the sound. This is The Sound Podcast with Ira Haberman.
You've been listening to Let It Slide, the title track from Marco Benevento's forthcoming record, due out September 20th. You know all about Marco Benevento if you've been part of the jam band scene for a while. What probably isn't obvious based on his most recent works is that he hasn't always been the singer-songwriter he is now. In fact, as you'll hear, his focus has always been on more instrumental music, but this record is filled with hot dance piano rock, and he sings on almost every track. Another great feature of this record, besides the poppy tones and throwback sounds, is the role Marco Benevento Band bassist Karina Reichman plays as a vocalist. It's all good fun and certainly a departure from previous work. We dig Marco a lot, so we dialed him up and our conversation started when I asked specifically about his new role as singer in the band.
Yeah, I opened up the can of worms. I don't know, maybe... Let's see. Like when we made our record Swift, which was two records before this.
Yep.
I was going to hire Cal from Rubble Bucket to sing again because that's what I did on the record before Swift on Tiger Face.
Right.
And then I just thought I should sing the songs myself because, you know, it's my band and, you know, Cal's not going to be able to always come on the road with us and, you know, or whatever, or, you know, even come on the road with us at all. But, so I sang the songs for Swift, and then that really sort of opened my eyes to, like, okay, dude, you got to, like, if you're going to, like, learn a new instrument, you got to, like, practice it or, like, really, you know, really embrace it and do it right. So over the last, like, 3 years, 4 years, I've been trying to focus on my singing a little more just because if I'm going to do it, It's got to at least be like as best as I could make it. So I remember like maybe even like 10 years ago, I sang at like somewhere in New Orleans for Jazz Fest, and Charlie Hunter was there, and he was like, he's like, oh man, he's like, and this is in a nice way. He wasn't trying to be a diss, but he was like, you know how you just started singing? He's like, you know how like you just you know how you it took you about 20 years to learn how to play the piano? Like it's gonna take you about 20 years to learn right. how to sing. And I wasn't discouraged by that. I was like, that's true. So I gotta at least, you know, start somewhere. So I just started doing it more, and I started singing more in other projects. Like we recreated the Last Waltz at the Capitol Theater a couple times, and I sang the Dr. John part. And you know, just being up here in Woodstock and playing at Levon's Barn and just playing various things, people are sort of like, "Oh yeah, you sing that." They're kind of it's expected that you could sing,
right?
If you live here, So I've been asked to sing more, and you know, I used to sing a lot in high school. Even I was singing in bands and in like the choir and everything. And then when I went to Berklee College of Music, I got way into jazz and instrumental music, so I stopped singing. So, but anyway, long story short, I'm just trying to embrace that more. And it's true on this particular record, like there's a lot of moments where it's like bass, drums and vocals versus yeah. like bass, drums and piano. So it's like full exposure to my voice.
Yeah. There's only like a couple of real instrumentals where you're not singing, but other than that, I mean, it's all you're singing. Gaffiano, those three Gaffianos are the only time where I think on the record, you're not singing.
There's one instrumental track called Humans, but you're basically right.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. You had Leon Michaels produce this record. What made you decide to totally go off script and bring in a different producer?
It's sort of along the lines of Swift, going back to that record where I wanted to work with Richard Swift and, you know, have his input on stuff. His role was less of a producer role than Leon's, but he did, you know, he did do some subtle, you know, little hints at what could be done. But he didn't do that much. But that was the first time that I was like, oh, it's kind of cool to like go to someone's studio and put your music in their hands and in their ears that you totally trust and love all their records so much. So that was sort of the beginning idea with that. And then Richard actually connected Leon and I, cause I subbed for Leon in the Arcs, which is Dan Arbeck's band like a few years ago.
Yep.
And so Richard recommended I sub for Leon. And then we met on that tour. And then I was like, I knew everybody else in the band, but I didn't know who Leon was. So I was like, this is like the cream of the crop, like musicians that I really like. And like, who's Leon? So I checked him out online and I was like, oh no, this is like my favorite, like of everybody that I've heard. And so I just reached out to him, and like within like a couple years, we got together and recorded at his place in Queens in Diamond Mine. And, you know, I was basically sitting, I had been sitting with the demos for about like almost 2 years for this record. It's kind of crazy.
Wow.
And I was just sort of over any musical idea that I had. I didn't even know, like my hands were up. I was like, I don't know. This is the stuff I got. Like, I don't know how, I think it's done. But if you got any ideas, like I'm down to do anything. Cause I don't even, you know, I didn't have a strong opinion about it being finished. You know, and so Leon, any suggestion that Leon had, we basically did, and I loved every idea he had, and it was really fun to work with him at his place in Queens. And then he also lives up here in the Hudson Valley. He lives in Rhinebeck and I live in Woodstock.
Right.
So it's basically just like 20 minutes away. And we became basically like best friends. We like play tennis all the time. Our kids are like the same age.
Oh, that's great.
And we just like worked on the record up here sort of casually as we would hang out. And
Isn't it weird to take all the gear outside of the Fred Short studio, which I imagine is your lab where you do all this modding and other sorts of stuff, and take it elsewhere, or do you not take it elsewhere? Do you kind of use the gear that was available to you at Diamond Mine?
Yeah, we just use the gear at Diamond Mine, which is like also amazing gear, incredible gear. It's a lot of gear that I don't have here. So that was like, that was a bonus just to like see all this other stuff, all these other, you know, preamps and mics and drums and keyboards even that I didn't even have. So I didn't bring anything there. The way I brought my studio into this recording is we recorded a lot of the basics in Queens and then did a lot of overdubs upstate. So if there was a section, like there's a part in Send It on a Rocket, there's like the sort of bridge section that I did like all here, like all the synths and piano. Like I added a lot of stuff to that song because I felt like it needed a little something in that part. And then I added like, I spent like a couple hours here at Fred Short messing with that bridge and added a bunch of stuff to it and then played it for Leon. And he was like, oh, yeah, that sounds cool. So so there's a lot of like overdub Fred Short moments. So it's kind of cool. It's like both of our studios on one record.
I'm curious about the modding of pianos and of, you know, your... I think your Rhodes is modded a little bit, like you fool around with that a little bit. How do you decide what to do and how to do it? I mean, you've been at it for so long, but I'm curious about, you know, I'm going to do this. I'm going to take the piano strings and put gaffing tape on them so that they sound a little bit different. And then I'm going to add tumbleweed effects to, or I'm going to run it through a whole bunch of effects after that. How do you decide? Is it just experimenting, or do you have an idea of how everything's going to sound?
A lot of it is experimenting for sure, but I guess first and foremost, it comes with an idea that's in your head where you're like, oh, that should sound like more broken or fucked up, or it should have like less high end, or it should have less low end. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and then when you have that sort of idea, then you make moves to do that. That's more really what happens. But then there's experimentation, which happens maybe outside of the recording process that you're like, oh, that's cool. But for the most part, it's like some sort of vision you have in your head. And we were tracking in Queens and we were tracking Let It Slide. And I remember like playing it and the drums were really tight and the organ had this like crazy percussion sound. It sounded really staccato-y and short, but with a lot of reverb, sounded really warm and cool. And then I'd play the piano. When I played the piano, we played it a couple of times and I was like, this sounds, it's kind of funny to say, but it sounds like super piano-y.
Yeah.
I was like, this sounds so piano-y. I didn't say anything to anybody, but I was like, I don't know, this doesn't feel right. And then I was like, it needs to sound more muted. And in the years past, like on the road, when I would play my piano, I'd reach in here and there and mute the strings with my hand to get a muted effect. And it has a cool sound. So I thought, well, since I can't play this song with one hand, maybe I'll just tape the strings to get the muted effect and see what that sounds like. And I put a bunch of gaff tape on the piano strings at the studio in Queens. Didn't even tell anybody what I did. We did our like third take and they were all like, what'd you do to the piano? It sounds awesome. I'm like, I just put gaff tape on it. It was sounding too piano-y. They're like, that sounds cool. They're like, what do you call that? And I was like, I don't know, gaff tape piano on strings. And they're like, they're like gaffiano. And that's where gaffiano was. Kind of like a gaffian, like a piano, but a gaffiano.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gaffiano. So all those gaffiano interludes, I was basically nicknamed that. And then he hired me to do like a movie score and everybody there called me Gaffiano. I was like, okay, guys.
So what do you do? Do you take the gaffer tape off? That must be a mess to take the tape off after, or do you just,
super easy. Gaff tape is too sticky and it's actually pretty easy. You just put it on the strings and it comes right off. It's like tape on metal, so it doesn't really.
Yeah, right. But do you change a lot of stuff back? Like, do you remember when you fool around with the guts of, I don't know, the Rhodes or any of the organs? Do you know what you're doing to put it back, or do you just say, okay, this is the way it is now? I mean, this is the way I use this instrument now.
Well, the Rhodes, I do the same effect as the piano, where I put my hand on the tines instead of strings to mute the tines. So I'm not really mod. I'm not in there with a screwdriver and like a soldering iron. I'm just in there with my hands muting and muffling the sound. Same with the organ. I'll go in there and just mess with like tone knobs and volume knobs. I'm not a repair guy. I don't know how to like seriously mod stuff, but I, you know, I'll just mess with stuff like either with my hands muting stuff, or like I'll mess with stuff by running it through weird amps. So like normally people run an organ through a Leslie. With the Duo, I used to run the organ through a Fender Twin and a Leslie to get more of that gritty sound, more of a bitter sound. But yeah, I'm not in there modding shit.
Toiling.
No. Yeah.
The band on Let It Slide is you, of course, Nick Momsen, of course, Leon shows up, and Karina shows up to play bass, I think, but also vocals. And what's interesting is they're so layered. Like, your vocals are layered too, but like there's like four Karinas every time we hear Karina. Andy Borger on drums on Solid Gold, and Brad Barr on Humans, which we talked about briefly. I'm curious about Karina's role because it says on the press release, vocals and official bassist in Benevento's touring trio. She doesn't play bass on the record at all. Is that all you and Leon?
Where does it say that?
In the press release.
That's so weird.
Yeah. Does she?
Why would they write that? That's so strange. I guess they wanted people to know that she's in my band, but not on the record playing bass. I don't know why they would write that, but
right.
She doesn't play bass on the record at all. She just came up to sing a bunch. And that was it.
Yeah. It's fun what you do with her vote. Like, it seems like there's four Karinas every time Karina sings. Like, it's very layered, which is great.
Yeah. I always like bands that have like a girl voice and a guy voice. I always thought it was cute, and I like what it did to the music. It just made it sound different. I don't know how to really describe it other than just I liked it a lot.
It's refreshing.
Also, yeah, it's refreshing. And you know, when she joined the band 2 years ago or more, there was never any talk of her singing. It was just sort of came up naturally on the road, where I was like, oh, Karina, can you just sing the same part with me so it's like more vocals? And she rose to the occasion and was like, oh, hell yeah, you know, I'll do it. And then it's, you know, evolved into me being like, oh, can you also sing on this? So there's parts in the night where we're both singing you know, a lot, and I like that look of the band. I mean, we can play our asses off. Like, she's such a great player. I can get around on the piano. Our drummer is amazing. So there's a lot of improvisation and jamming happening, but to really you know, get into the singing side of things, like especially a boy and a girl kind of thing, like I think that's a nice element to bring out in our band.
Yeah, it sounds great. It really does sound great. Also sounding great is Brad Barr, who makes an appearance on Humans. And you go way back with Brad.
Of course.
That's a nice touch to just be able to call up somebody like Brad and say, hey, can you?
I didn't call him up. He was visiting Woodstock for some reason. I forget why he was here. And we just partied all night. And before I knew it, of course, this is what always happens when my really good friend from back in the day comes over. You know, we're in the studio recording, and I said, oh, it'd be kind of cool for you to be on this song. And it just happened. It happened pretty naturally. But yeah, it's pretty nice to have such a badass musician, like, willing to do it like at 2:30 in the morning, like a bunch of tequilas in.
Well, that's when he's most comfortable, and that's when you're most probably comfortable doing it, right?
Oh, yeah.
The record comes out September 20th, and then you take the show on the road again. Does it ever get, you know, this is just a continuous cycle for you. I mean, you're on the road pretty much. So any downtime that you have back in Woodstock must be really great. But is touring on the road the most fun still?
Absolutely. Karina adds, you know, a nice fresh, you know, element to it too. She's, you know, she's like 25. So there's, you know, not that like every 40-year-old musician is like, oh, I got to go on the road again. But, right. You know, sometimes when you do it a lot, you're not as excited. But, you know, Karina's like pumped, and our lighting guy and sound guys, they're like, everybody has a pretty good attitude on the road. We all genuinely like each other and like have a good time hanging out. So that's cool. Also, I cap my tours at 10 days, and we'll do basically 2 weekends of shows, and then take some time off to regroup and do it again. So right. even if it is like 10 days on and 10 days off, at least we have that regrouping process. Cause, you know, you got to balance it out. So, and I have kids and I like, I want to be home. So I don't go out for like 3 weeks, you know. I'll do like 30 shows in 3 months, but make sure that I'm home for 10 days as much as I'm gone for, you know. So it's actually a pretty good system that we got.
All right. So you're on tour. I mean, most of October and into November, and then you are chilling for the winter.
Yeah, we got, we're doing a couple tours. We're going out to Colorado in February. We're going to go down south in January. I think we'll play at Levon's Barn in March. But yeah, the winter kind of slows down a bit, but the fall is pretty crazy.
It's a great, fun record. It's a party, hot dance piano rock. That's what they're saying, and it's so true.
I think that describes it pretty well.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for taking the time, Marco. We really appreciate it.
All right. Yeah, no problem. Take care.
Short and sweet, just like Let It Slide. The album, produced by Lian Michaels, is certainly a great one, and the synth and bass has a lot of layers. It will be a ton of fun to see these songs perform live. For more information on Let It Slide and to check out tour dates, visit marcobenevento.com. Before we leave you, let's listen into another track from Let It Slide. Here is Send It on a Rocket.
I felt the room was so
You've been listening to The Sound Podcast. Technical production by Adam Karsh and Andrea Ruse. Inspired by the music we love. For more, visit thesoundpodcast.com.